Romans chapter 8 and verse number 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're going to preach this morning on this subject, the blessing of eternal security, the blessing of eternal security. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for what we read in the Bible. We'll read a lot of verses, Lord, and thank you that you again and again give us assurances when it comes to eternity, assurances when it comes to security. And Lord, of all the things to be thankful for, Lord, thank you for bringing this to heart, this to mind, Lord, this week in my life. And Lord, as I share it, may we rejoice together, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Outside on our marquee, you'll see on this side of the sign here, it says, count your blessings, name them one by one. I appreciate, Sister Tanya, you singing that song. What a great way to kind of wrap up the Thanksgiving week. I thought that song was so appropriate, so well done. Because we have, I think, tried to spend our week counting our blessings. Watch this. If you're going to count them, then you've got to name them one by one. This has been a month we've been counting our blessings. It's also been a month. By the way, folks, we can be thankful, we can count blessings, but that doesn't mean that there aren't challenges and sorrow and trials that many in our church family went through during the month where we are counting our blessings. Present day trials, watch this, present day trials make the prospect of a perfect, sinless, sorrowless heaven that much more important in our life. So this month, among the blessings I counted was the blessing of being eternally secure in Christ. Eternally secure in Christ. And I always try to ask the Lord to help me to find something that maybe I have not specifically in my life been thankful for. I've known about eternal security. I've believed in eternal security. But I don't know if I've just ever focused in on just being thankful for eternal security quite like I did this week. And I want to say this, it's wonderful. Yep, we are a church that believes in eternal security. We do so because we have a Bible that teaches us that we are eternally secure through the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, think about this. What's the other side of that coin? What's the other option? A person who does not believe in eternal security is choosing to live in a present state of eternal insecurity. Think about that. They live in a state of fear. Think about this. Did I do something today that caused God to disown me? Was my name erased today out of the Lamb's Book of Life? Did I think or say something today that forfeited the promise of heaven? Watch this. Am I one act, one attitude, one action away from the doom of eternal damnation? Yes, folks, listen to me. I believe that we need to stop this morning and just be thankful that we don't have to live like that. Imagine every week of your life thinking this thought, every day of your life, did I today lose my salvation? You ever hear that? You can lose your salvation. Just let's stop and think about the terminology that's used, lose your salvation. Well, I'd be fearful if that was true because Jerry Ross, of all people, would be the most insecure Christian on the planet because I have a unique gift or a curse of misplacing things. I lose a lot of things. And if salvation could be something I could merely lose, then I probably would have already lost it, okay? I'm the master at losing stuff to the point when I was in Bible college. And doesn't your mother know you better than anyone else in the world? Come on, come on, admit it. Yes, you can admit that. She knows you better than anyone else in the world. And as I'm going off to Bible college, my mom stopped me and she said this. One of the last things she said was this, Jerry, Listen, you're going to be a wonderful preacher, and I believe God's truly called you. And you're going to write one day a wonderful sermon. And then somewhere between the office and the pulpit, you're going to lose that sermon. I'm asking you, please, as your mother, do one thing. Okay, Mom. Marry an organized woman, all right? Just marry an organized woman. And you know what I did? I listened to my mom. That's what I did. And my wife, her chief job in life is finding, and my chief gift in life is losing. And come on, can I hear amen, wives? You know, how many times your husband, you know, say, honey, where's my honey? Where's my honey? Now, you know what she would say to the children when the kids ask, mommy, where's my shoes? She would say, well, the last time I wore them, but you know, you can't say that to your husband. Well, you can, and she has, but I'm glad salvation is not something that was handed to me and saying, now you take good care of this. Don't misplace it. Don't lose it. It would be gone. I mean, I lose stuff all the time. I just found the keys, the other set of keys to my truck. Did you notice I found them? I lost them when I was up at Fairhaven, an Empower Youth, and it's kind of Travis's fault, to be quite honest with you. I was going to go by a store and buy him a bag of goodies, you know. Come on, if you show up to visit a Bible college student, don't you have to bring him something? Did I bring you anything? I did not bring you anything. Wow. Just realized that. I didn't bring you anything. Well, I stopped and I bought Travis like this huge, gigantic sack of all kinds of treats and goodies and stuff like that. But sorry about that. And didn't I try to buy you a pair of boots at Cabela's? I didn't. You wouldn't let me? Okay, that's then I don't feel bad. All right. So I'm carrying all these bags from the CVS out, okay? And I've got bags. And not only did I buy you a bag full of stuff, but this girl named Liberty. How I get into these things, I don't know. Met her in Challis, Idaho. Side story. Help me remember where I lost my place in a minute here. I'm in Challis, Idaho in September. In a church preaching, a little girl comes up, a little teenage girl comes up and says, I'm going to be listening to you preach in Fairhaven. I'm going to the Empower Youth. I said, you're coming from Challis, Idaho, all the way to Chesterton to go to this youth conference? Yeah, my dad said he promised he'd drive me the whole way. I said, if he drives you from Idaho to Indiana for a youth conference, I will have something special for you when you get there. So I had all of Liberty. How do I get into these things? I make promises. I got Liberty stuff. I've got Trevis' stuff. And I've got all these bags. And I've got the keys hanging off of a finger or something. I don't know. But when I put them all in the truck, I hear they slip out of my hand. And I hear them hit the floor of the truck. And so then I rearrange the bags. And then I'm like, I'm in a hurry. I'm running late. So I'm moving the bags. I'm looking. I heard the key. Where did it? I couldn't find the key anywhere. I thought maybe it fell on the ground. I'm looking. I had two sets. So I said, well, I'll find it when I get there. Use the other set. Couldn't find it. Got home. Searched. Couldn't find it. And you know what? I found it just the other day. It had fallen in one of the bags. And when I was taking all the stuff out, did I tell you about this giant sack of goodies that I brought to Trev's? I mean, it was huge. It was lots of nice stuff. Wasn't it super nice stuff that I brought? And it slipped out of my finger. It went in the bag. Well, when I'm pulling all this stuff and putting it in the bag for Liberty and Trevis, then I took all the bags and wadded them up and I threw them in the box where we keep our visitation stuff, you know. And so then I took that out of the truck when I was going hunting. And so this is important. I know this is important. This is somehow bringing us to a spiritual truth. I don't know how yet. So I'm in my shop. And I picked this bag box up and I thought, man, all this trash, I got to get rid of it. And I pick up one of the bags and I hear the sound that I've been wanting to hear. My second set of keys were lost, but now they are found. Amen. But I'm telling you, if salvation was like, here, hold this, forget it. It ain't going to happen. I'm going to lose it. I mean, I've already learned me enough to know that the best way for me not to lose something is to have so many of them scattered around. This is a pair of reading glasses. You say, I thought you got a regular pair of glasses. I do. Somewhere. I promise you they're somewhere. I've seen them a few weeks ago. I don't know where they're at now, but I'll find them. In my office are three or four pairs of reading glasses. In my truck is three or four pairs of reading glasses. In our car is a couple pairs of reading glasses. In my house, there's probably 15 pairs of reading glasses. Where they're all at, I'm not sure, but I can almost, if I lose something, my cure for it is buy so many and scatter them all over in every place of your life that no matter where you're at, come on, I'm helping you. Aren't you glad you came to church today? Amen. You can lose your salvation. That's what they're saying. You can lose your salvation as if it was something that was handed to you and that you could misplace or you could lose. Think about this, folks. I'm glad to report that God did not put me in charge of keeping my salvation. He has declared it His responsibility to take care of that. 2 Timothy 1:12, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." I began to think this week and jotted down some things. What would have to happen for me to lose my salvation? Boy, I got excited as I was studying this out. Let me share these things with you. Number one, 26 promises of eternal life and 10 promises of everlasting life would have to be ripped from the pages of the Bible for me to lose my salvation. See, John chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but not one day have everlasting life. John 10, 27, 28, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me, and I give unto them eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Folks, the day that you got saved, I'm going to keep reading some of these verses, but I want you to listen as I read. The day that you got saved, you did not receive the promise that you would one day have eternal life. You received the gift of eternal life, the promise of everlasting life, eternal life, from the moment that you received Jesus Christ as your Savior. Keep listening. Titus chapter 3, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done," hallelujah, "but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." 1 John chapter 5, "This is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life." He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I've got to look in the mirror and say, "Jerry Ross, do you have the Son?" "Yes, I've been saved. I've received Christ." "Then I have life. I have this eternal life. I'm not going to one of these days get eternal life. I have it now. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that ye have eternal." Not that you'll one day get it, but that you got it now. Think about that. "That ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." John 3:36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." John 5:27, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth My word and believeth on Him that sent Me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life." John 6:47, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on Me hath everlasting life." I could keep reading. There's more of them. Folks, listen to me. Eternal life is not something I will one day have. It is something God gave me the day I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Yes, you heard it. Let me say it plain. Jerry Ross will never die. Never die. You say, "Wait a minute, preacher. I know some Christians that have died. You watched their physical bodies cease to function, but you never saw them die." What about death? Doesn't a Christian die? Well, the Bible refers to Christian at their passing as falling asleep. How about that? 1 Thessalonians 4:13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brother, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." Does that preach? Does that teach soul sleep? No, I don't believe so. Sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. "Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And folks, listen to me. When you're absent from the body, you're present with the Lord. I don't believe in soul sleep. I believe that your body, your physical remains are buried here. That's what 1 Thessalonians is referring to as far as the body awaiting the resurrection. But if you're absent from the body, you are present with the Lord. And one of these days, these saints of God that are in heaven right now and present with God will have their physical body resurrected and changed. Mortality will take on immortality. Corruption will take on incorruption. And God will create a glorified body somehow, miraculously. I don't quite understand it, but he's going to use the essence, at least a part of the physical body, and transform that and change it to an immortal body. Then that soul will receive its body and forever will be in the presence of the Lord. Folks, listen to me. You may watch Jerry Ross exhale for the last time on earth, but what you don't see is that I will inhale a second later in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven one of these days. Folks, listen to me. I'm not waiting for eternal life. I have eternal life. I'm not waiting for everlasting life. I have everlasting life. You know what? That makes me secure in the Lord. Think about this. That makes these verses sweet. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment of the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, that's this stuff right here, must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying, here it is, that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, listen. Preacher, are you worried about losing your salvation? No, I'm not, because God would have to take back 26 promises of eternal life and 10 promises of everlasting life, would have to rip them from the pages of his word, and he's not going to do that. Number two, we would have to rip out all of the never verses. What are you talking about? Never verses. John 4:14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. John 6:35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He didn't say never unless you mess up. Never unless you misplace your salvation. Never unless you cross a certain line. John 10:28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. John 11:25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Matthew 7:22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, listen to this, I never knew you. Now, if a person could lose their salvation, you know what he'd have to say? He'd have to say, now listen, from 1972 to 1974, I knew you. But then from 1974 to 1980, I didn't know you. But from 1980 to 1986, I knew you. No, he said, listen, I either knew you or I never knew you. There's no middle ground, folks. Those are the Bible promises that we have. For Jerry Ross to lose his salvation, number three, God would have to become a liar. Folks, let me say this. My God is not a liar. Titus chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Listen, folks, don't you call my God a liar. You tell me you lost your salvation. Listen, you either have it and you still have it, or you never had it, but you didn't have it and lose it, because that makes God a liar. 1 John 2:25, and this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. God's promise. John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Shall be saved. Romans 5, 9 through 10, much more than being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Well, I love Romans 10, 13, sure is a comfort to me. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, if God made that promise, and under Holy Spirit conviction, come on now, drawing of the Father, understanding of our sinfulness, and an understanding of salvation, we turn to Jesus Christ. We turn and call upon God and ask him for the gift of eternal life. For God not to give it to us would make him a liar. You know what? My God's not a liar. This is number four. Preacher, what would happen for you to lose your salvation? I'd have to be unborn again. What does that even mean? Unborn again. I want to spend some time, just a moment here, because I think this is the basic premise of misunderstanding what salvation is. Folks, salvation is not a possession that I hand to Max and say, now you take care of this and don't lose it. Or if you're a bad boy, I'm going to come take it from you. It's not a possession handed. It's a new birth that's been experienced. For me to come up to somebody in this room and say, are you still saved? Are you still saved? Would be the same thing as me walking up to you and say, are you still born? This week you didn't get unborn? Come on now. What a silly question. Has anybody ever come up to you and say, now you know, I know you were born, Brother Russ, I know you were born August 30th, 1961. Greencastle Hospital over there. No plaque. There ought to be a plaque. But Greencastle Hospital over there, is it the same hospital? Probably a different hospital now. It is. It's a different hospital. Man, a lie. Did they tear it down? It's still there. The old hospital's there. What's that? Apartments? Really? Could you find out who owns those apartments for me? You got that? All right, you give me their name. There's going to be a plaque. There's going to be a plaque. Hey, money buys a lot of things, I'm telling you. Where was I? Okay, August 30th, 1961, I got born. Brother Ross, what's your birthday? August 30th, 1961. Oh, that's good. That was the day you were born, yes. Are you still born? No, three times since then I've been unborn. What does that even mean? You know, we're talking about Nicodemus type understanding here. It's not good. I enter a second time to my mother's womb. You know, listen, what he was trying to tell that religious man is salvation is not accumulation of your good works, son. It's a moment where you are born into the family of God. Think about this. That's what Jesus was talking about. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And the same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Watch this. Jesus answered, said to them, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? We see in verse 5 through 7 the explanation. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water. By the way, folks, you ladies that have been expecting, gone through pregnancy, you know what it means when I talk about the water breaking. That's talking about the physical birth. You've got to be born of water. That's not baptismal regeneration. And I'll tell you how we know that, folks. Watch this. Except a man be born of water and of the capital S Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Parallel verse explained in the previous verse. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the capital S Spirit is small S Spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. See, the day that you got saved, folks, God didn't hand you something called salvation and say, now take care of this. Don't lose this. I might have to come back and get this. No, at that moment, you were born again. You are born spiritually into the family of God. I love John 1, verse 12 and 13. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Don't you understand? When you received him, God gave you a power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It was a God thing. It was a God birth. It was a God miracle. And I became a child of God that day, and I've never been unborn. I've been born again, but I've never been unborn again, and neither has anybody else. What else would happen to happen if you'd lose your salvation? The Holy Spirit would have to go to hell with me. I just want to try to get some of you get this thing settled in your life once and forever. Don't spend your life living in the spirit of fear. Don't spend your life, you know, under the bondage of that. Good night. It's a happy day when you just understand God saved me and He born me again and He made me a new creature in Jesus Christ. And by the way, something happened the moment that you got saved. 2 Corinthians 1:19-22. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by Him, and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in Him was yea. And all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now He, which establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us, is God. He's the one that done it. Who, talking about God, hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. The earnest. Folks, Bible words are important. Bible definitions are important. A couple years ago, AJ and Tab was in the process of trying to buy their first home. And man alive, any of you that have gone through that process, it's somewhat of a nightmare. Paperwork, red tape. Now, go to California and do it. 25 times the paperwork, 25 times the red tape. And so we helped them walk through that process. But at some point, you know what, in order to secure the possibility of you one day owning that home, you had to show up and you had to write a check, and it wasn't the purchase price, it was earnest money. You put that earnest money, you know what I'm talking about? You put that money back on something and say, I give this money as a promise that I will come back and pay the full purchase price, that I will come back and claim what I say is mine. Folks, I've been at yard sales before. Come on. And I've said to somebody, hey, I don't have the money with this, but I want to get this. Would you hold it while I run to the bank? And they're like, well, somebody else comes. Well, if I gave you $50, would you hold it till I could come back to the rest? And if I don't come back, the 50's yours. You know what I did? I just put earnest money. I bought a trailer, just a little 6x10 trailer. Popped out in front of somebody's house. Here just on the other side of Hymera last summer. And I've been looking for one. And I stopped in and talked to the guy. And he said, this is the price on it. I would take this for it. And I said, literally, my bank is in Hymera. He said, I've had 4 people stop and 4 people say they're going to come back. I said, have you ever had somebody hand you cash? He said, no. I said, let me hand you what I've got. Would you not sell it till I make the trip to Hymera back? And he said, yes. Now, if I don't come back and pay that, folks, guess what? That money is no longer mine. And God put within you the earnest of your salvation. The Holy Spirit of God is the earnest. That word's important. Earnest of salvation. That means that we'd have to break up. Think about this. How secure am I? We'd have to break up. God would have to break up the Trinity. He'd have to send the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, to a devil's hell if he's going to send Jerry Ross there. That makes me feel pretty secure. Makes me feel pretty secure. Let me give you the last one. Number 6, mankind would have to be mightier than Jesus and God the Father. Now think about that. What do you mean mightier? I mean stronger. How about this? John 10:27-30. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Watch this. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I and my Father. He said, nobody's able to pluck them out of my hand. Young people, look at this. I want you to understand. The day that you got saved, God said, I'm going to put you right here in my hand. I'm going to put my hand around you. And by the way, no man. And are you a man? All right, then you can't even pluck yourself out of the hand of God. So Jesus says, I'm going to put you in my hand. And then he said, something else is going to happen. This is exciting. He said, not only am I put you in my hand,
But no man is also, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I, my Father, are one. So he said, you're in my hand. And then my Father puts his hand over my hand. And that's how secure, and that's how I want you to go home, understanding that the day that you got saved, something miraculous happened. And God's not an Indian giver. And God doesn't come back, turn back on his promises. And there's no eraser on the pen that is used to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you know what? He said, listen, no man's able to take him out of my hand. And by the way, my Father, which is greater than all, no one's going to take him out of his hand either. You know what? We're agreed. We're one when it comes to this decision. You are mine. You are mine forever. Think about that. 2 Timothy 1:12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day, which takes us back to what we read in the beginning. We'll be done. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Come on. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. God's my Father. God's my Father. And you know what? I'm secure in his hand. God's your Father if you're saved. You're secure in his hand. Preacher, but I'm not saved. Well, let me tell you about a day that I walked in a Baptist church lost. Nobody here was born saved. Everybody here that's saved, there was a day that they had to be born again, except a man be born again. You cannot enter the kingdom of God. There was a day I walked in the front door of a Baptist church and sat in the auditorium and was lost. But by the time I walked out the front door, I was secure and safe in the Father's hand. And it was a simple decision on my part. Thank God for his enlightenment, his understanding. I love that verse where it says the glorious gospel shines through. And boy, it's wonderful when God is working in your heart, convicting you of sin. You understand the gospel. You understand Jesus died for your sins, was buried, rose again. But you understand that God's holding out to you the free gift of eternal life. This is something you have to work for. Something he wants to give you. But you have to receive it. Say, preacher, what did you do that day when you walked in lost and walked out saved? You know what I did? I responded at the end of a sermon about salvation. I responded to an invitation. And I walked forward and I talked to the preacher. Dad went with me. I was a little guy. I was scared. Man, my heart was thumping and I knew God was working and I knew I needed to be saved. Preacher knelt down at the front pew, went through a couple verses. The one I remember is John 3:16. Thank God for John 3:16. A preacher once said there's enough gospel in John 3:16 to save the world. And I'd say amen to that. Amen to that. And you know what? I called upon the Lord and asked him to save me. And it really is that simple. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Oh, it's nice to know for sure. It's nice to be eternally secure. It's nice not to have to live in the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. It's nice to know that God's taking care of some things for me. As forgetful as I am and sometimes a bit disorganized, I'm thankful that salvation is not a possession to lose, but a new birth to experience. I became a new creature in Jesus Christ. No way you can lose that. Holy Spirit was given to me. No way I could lose that. Lord wants to do the same for you if you're here without Christ. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd bless. Maybe someone here that's not saved, or they just need to be saved today. I pray they'll make that decision. Just settle it once and for all. Know that they know that they know that they know that they're born again. Lord, I pray, dear God, also, the rest of us, Lord, on this Thanksgiving week, there's a lot of things we can be thankful for, and we have been. I think collectively there's been hundreds, maybe thousands of things that we've been thankful for in this past week. But Lord, it sure is good to just pick this one out this morning and say thank you for not only saving me, thank you for keeping me. Lord, bless the invitation in Jesus' name.